Money and markets, the Congress and White House, as we speak now, are negotiating over a deal to finalize a budget. We went through the elections without a budget. You know, the budget's supposed to be final on October 1st. Clearly, for political reasons, that was hard to do before the midterm elections. But they're still squabbling, and if they don't agree by tonight, we're going to have a government shutdown at midnight. If you want to understand why it's so difficult at this point to re-engineer the budget and the fiscal affairs of the country, I would really encourage you to read the article I wrote 2 years ago in anticipation of this coming clean over the fiscal cliff. It's a really excellent overview of all the sort of things that need to be teed up and dealt with if we're really going to re-engineer the federal budget. And of course, trying to bring transparency to the black budget as an official matter is very difficult. Well, oil's down 40% year to date. They're big winner and losers. The big losers, of course, are OPEC and Russia. I would say that that is very much a plan, not to say that the slowdown in the global economy can't contribute, but I see this very much as an oil card game. It's very interesting. As I said last week, we had Jim Norman talking about the oil card. Great interview. You should listen to it on the Solera Report. And he warned that oil could go as low as $40. Then, of course, the following week or a week later, we had everybody on sort of Yahoo and Bloomberg saying, oh, well, it could go down to 40. And I keep saying you heard it here first. We see the price break $60. It closed at $59.25 today, or was trading at $59.25 at the close. So in theory, we could go lower, but it wouldn't surprise me to ultimately to see it stabilize around here. I think there's a real effort to deliver a message as to who's boss to both OPEC and Russia. And again, I think it's going to be a long, hard winter over in the Ukraine. We see announcements that the Ukraine needs extraordinary billions of dollars to not have a financial implosion. It's going to be very interesting to see what the IMF does. Merkel surprised everyone in the last week, announcing that it was unacceptable to the Germans that the Russians hold Crimea, and so the Germans are holding fast. So it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out, because the Russians are clearly digging in for a long fight and have no intention of giving up Crimea. So we'll see how long it takes for the lower oil price to deliver real pain. Court of Appeals reached a decision in an insider trading case. It's no longer insider trading if the person who gave you the tip was not engaged in a legal violation, including of their fiduciary obligation. So this is going to make it very interesting for the rumor mill to operate. So another little contribution to the potential crash-up possibilities in the equity markets. CIA, the Senate Intelligence Committee, Dianne Feinstein comes out with a report on the CIA torture program. I hate to say it. We have Glenn Greenwald jumping all over it. And it's amazing, you know, because we have reporters who within 24 hours are shut down, and yet Greenwald is free to whack the NSA through The Guardian and now whack the CIA over the torture program. And what you realize, what it looks to me like, is Global 3.0 is whacking 2.0 plenty. We have Dick Cheney aggressively on the TV saying that the Senate report is crap and defending the torture program. Clearly, it's a pretty gruesome thing to have happen if you're the CIA and you've been asked to do these things. Having this report come out from the Senate is really going to tie the hands of officers and agents on the line. I'm not defending the use of torture, but I will say this, that anybody who wants the empire to keep going, this is, you know, these are the kind of things that happen within an empire. So it's part of the model, and it's a big problem for the United States, because the United States has always enjoyed a brand of credibility that it is lost, and this means there's even more dependency on force. So if you're dependent on force, but you tie the hands of the people who deliver the force, whether the NSA or the CIA, you're clearly weakening the whole bureaucracy. And so as we've expected, the institutions of 2.0 are in one sense fighting a losing battle. We had a series of decisions in the Madoff case. I won't bore you with the details, but essentially, the Madoff trustee has lost an appeal on clawbacks. Essentially, the judge said that clawbacks can only go back 2 years, which is interesting because the decision when it came to protecting SIPC was that SIPC didn't have to pay out its $500,000 based on clawbacks of 6 years. So we see a remarkable multiple personality disorder protecting people who took big money out. And if you look at what the 2 year period protects, it protects, you know, 2 years takes us back to December 2006. Madoff went down in December 2008. It takes us back to December 2006 when Goldman Sachs started its big mortgage short. So you get the distinct feeling that all the people in the know got their money out in October, November after decisions had been made. Then the big short goes in and they've got the 2 year period. And then Madoff goes down 2 years later. It all looks very convenient. Online shopping is being pushed incredibly. I've been on Coast to Coast a couple times, and every time I'm on Coast to Coast, George is saying, oh, online shopping is going boomerang. It's really not. If you look at online shopping as of the end of the first quarter, I don't have the statistics yet for the end of the year, 6% of shopping is done online, 13% of discretionary. It's not as high as everybody's making it out to sound. There's no doubt, though, that it's extremely important in rural areas. I'm in a rural area, and I depend on online shopping more than I would like to. It's certainly important in certain discretionary areas like media or sports. Where it is very important and where small businesses are really losing is we see consumers want to interact with both physical space and online space together. So one of the most successful retail establishments in North America with mobile payments and mobile phone information access is Starbucks. But more and more, we're using our mobile phones when we go into a store to check information or to comparison shop. And so it's not either or, it's and. One of the things that's coming is there's very little online shopping in the big essential areas, including food and groceries. But obviously, we're seeing shifts by the stores like Amazon and then the post office to be able to deliver groceries and food. And so once those start to shift, we're going to see a real acceleration. I put up a little study that was done and a little graphic. It says if you shop at Amazon, you support, I forget what it is. Buying at Amazon supports 10 employees, and I forget how much the money was. And buying in the store supports 57 employees. So there's a big, big difference. If we swing our money out of buying in the physical store into buying online, we're going to significantly reduce the employment in the retail area. I did a book review of a very interesting book, Three Felonies a Day, by a very experienced attorney about the debasement of the legal system in the United States. It's very chilling to understand what's going on, and it's a pretty dense topic, so I decided to write a in-depth, detailed summary of sort of the key issues, and you'll see why people are so nervous about dealing with the legal system, and very rightly so, because it's what's been happening is a serious debasement of the enforcement of the law. Anyway, it's up on the blog under book review, Three Felonies a Day. Another commentary I wrote this week was on China equities taking off. And thanks to China equities taking off, Jack Ma has become the richest person in Asia, although he did float on the U.S. markets. He's the 50-year-old founder of Alibaba, and his fortune has now risen to $28.6 billion, surpassing the Hong Kong property magnate who'd held the title of number one. Of course, that's based on public statistics, based on real wealth. Who knows? The Wall Street Journal had a big CEO conference and published their priorities, sort of what the CEOs said was their top five priorities. And I thought they were pretty interesting because they augur some of the changes that are coming up. One of the things they keep pushing for is great liberalization of immigration and residency status for people who go to university here from other countries, and they described it as 21st century workforce. I expect to see real progress on that by at least by after the election, if not before. They also talked a lot about investment in infrastructure. That's a drumbeat you're hearing all around the world. And as monetary stimulus ends, I would expect that to be the sort of the next step, which is fiscal stimulus. And it's one that I generally support because we really do need to make an investment in infrastructure, and new technology means we can really re-engineer sort of how we use technology. They're promoting to a tapering of capital gains. The longer you hold shares, the less your capital gain stock would be. I think that'd be a terrific thing to do. And again, it's all in alignment with building equity markets. Finally, and this one had me laughing until I was under the table, empower healthcare consumers. Now that we have rigged through Washington the forcing of all consumers to buy very expensive corporate healthcare insurance, they're saying, oh, we want consumers to take better care of themselves so they need less from the healthcare system. Oh, the hypocrisy. So I just had to take the time to sit down and write a little commentary that we'll publish sometime tomorrow. And here's, I want to read it to you. I don't understand why the media keeps saying that Obamacare is not working and has not been good for the Democrats. Obamacare was signed into law on March 23, 2010, and affirmed by the Supreme Court on June 28, 2012. Between March 22, 2010, so the day before it passed, and June 27, 2012, so the day before it was sort of affirmed by the Supreme Court, the following healthcare ETFs rose by the following percentages. So during this period, the S&P 500 went up 14.2%. The healthcare select spider went up 15.5%. iShares U.S. Medical Devices went up 41%. iShares U.S. Healthcare Providers went up 20%. iShares U.S. Pharmaceuticals went up 10%. iShares NASDAQ Biotech, 40%. Then from June 27th, the day before 2012, the day before the Supreme Court decides, to today, at the close of the market, these same healthcare ETFs rose by the following percentages compared to the S&P, which rose 53%. Healthcare Select was up 87%. iShares U.S. Medical Devices, 76%. Healthcare Providers, 79%. Pharmaceuticals, 79%. NASDAQ Biotech, IBB, 145%. Okay, so... So then I continue the commentary. Since the single largest source of capital campaign contributions is capital gains, it looks to me like the Democrats should be in fine shape, and it is easy to see why the Republican House members who tried to stop Obamacare got their heads handed to them. So there's no doubt the two best performing areas in the stock market over the last 2 years have been healthcare and technology. Thank you, Obamacare. Market roundup, the TLT, the 20-year Treasury ETF, is now up 22.4% for the year. Ladies and gentlemen, if you had told me at the beginning of the year that TLT was going to be up 22% for the year, I could say anything could happen, but I thought the chances of that was remote. So S&P is up 10%, corporate bond aggregate ETF 3.6%. Gold's now affirmed up a little bit. Franklin and I had a great conversation about what's been going on in precious metals. I encourage you to listen to it. Gold up 1.4% for the year. Emerging markets down 6.75%. Oil down 39%. So, and that's a fall just since the summer. So that's a real, it was up as of the summer. So that's a big, big fall. If the Feds yank that interest rate leash that I talked about at the beginning, TLT and S&P could be the star performers again next year. It's quite remarkable. So, you know, we'll be talking a lot more about that at the wrap-up. But as I said in my commentary, keep an eye on the U.S. dollar index. It's the variable to watch. And if anything, interest rates, if the Feds raise interest rates, it could push that higher.